I want to talk to you all today very seriously about Chippy the parakeet. He never saw it coming. There he was, enjoying life, just rocking on his little birdie thing, swing in the cage, you know, thinking about crackers and what embarrassing thing that he could parrot next. I think parakeets talk. He's peacefully perched in his cage, and the next, he was sucked in, washed up, and blown over. See, the problems began when Chippy's owner decided to clean Chippy's cage with a vacuum cleaner. She removed the attachment from the end of the hose, and she stuck it in the cage, and then the phone rang. And so she turned to pick it up, and no sooner had she said hello when she heard, Chippy got sucked in. The bird's owner gasped and put down the phone and turned off the vacuum cleaner and opened up the bag, and there was Chippy, alive, but stunned, as you can imagine. Since the bird was covered with dust and hair and all of the stuff that you'd find in a vacuum cleaner bag, she grabbed him and raced to the bathroom, turned on the tap, and held Chippy under the running water. Then, realizing that Chippy was now soaked and shivering and gasping for breath, she did what any compassionate bird owner would do. She reached for the hairdryer and blasted the pet with hot air. Poor Chippy never knew what hit him. A few days after the trauma, a friend who had heard about Chippy the parakeet's troubles contacted his owner to see how the bird was recovering. Well, she replied, Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits and stares. But who can blame him, right? Sucked in, washed up, and blown over. I mean, that's enough to steal the song from even the stoutest of hearts. But the fact is just like with Chippy, things happen in our lives that can happen and come along unexpectedly, right? One day we're just looking at the mountains, whistling to ourselves, thinking everything's great, and then the cosmic vacuum cleaner hose goes, and life is messy, you know? Suddenly you're like Chippy, sucked in, washed up, and blown over, and the song gets stolen from your heart. But I want to let you know that whether bad things have happened to you in your past, or you're someone that maybe did the bad things yourself, we all need this reminder. Your past can't hold Jesus back. Heavenly Father, today I just ask that whatever things we've been dealing with in our lives, each person around this room, whatever burdens are being carried right now, whatever kind of past obligations or past experiences or past actions are acting like quicksand, sucking us down and not letting us go forward, Lord, I ask that you would provide freedom from that today. And Lord Jesus, I ask that you'd take these feeble human words that I'm about to speak and that you would make them something worthwhile through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Today I want to look in the Bible with you, as we do every Sunday. I want to look at a book of the Bible called Luke. And this book is a historical account written by a physician and historian named Luke, who went around and collected all the eyewitness accounts of Jesus' life on earth and wrote a history about what happened. And so here in Luke chapter 15, we read a story that many of you are probably very familiar with, and it's this. Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now, before you die. And so his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. Joshua, just so you know, if you decide that you want my wealth, if you want your inheritance before I die, the answer is no. All right? I know, I've just crushed your spirit. Anyways, he agrees to divide his wealth between his sons. And a few days later, this younger son, having received the inheritance, packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time that his money had run out, there was a great famine that swept over the land. And this younger son began to starve. And so he managed to persuade a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. The young man, paid so little in that job, became so hungry that even the pods that he was feeding to the pigs looked good to him. But no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. And here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant.'" And so he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, can I just say that to me, when I read that statement, it feels like one of the most profound statements in the Bible. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. And his son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son." But his father said to the servants, "Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get the ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we've been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found." And so the party began. I love that. Not only in his culture would it have been quite the slight while his father is still alive to be like, "Give me what you're gonna owe me," and then to just take off and not contribute to the household any longer, but just decide to do whatever you want. But as well as somebody who was in the Jewish religion, pigs were very non-kosher. Like, you're not supposed to eat them, you're not supposed to touch them, and here he is tending to them. I like it when you read, like, old children's storybooks, it's got him, like, sitting in the mud with the pigs, like, just covered in pig junk. Like, sometimes in some of those books, like, the pigs are cleaner than he is, which always made me laugh as a child, and he's looking longingly at the mush that they get to eat, and like, this was not good stuff. Like, he was breaking the rules, he was breaking cultural expectations, he'd broken his father's heart. And so he's like, "Well, I don't deserve much. Like, look at everything I've done. But maybe if I go home, I'll at least be able to, like, get the bare minimum to survive. I'll just work and I'll be lowered to a servant, but at least I won't be with these pigs anymore, and I'll have a little bit of food." And so I'm sure that as he was walking home, he was getting ready to, you know, he probably had been practicing in the mirror before he left, just like, "Okay, maybe should I do number one? No, number one doesn't feel right. Let's try speech number two. I don't know. Maybe I need to smile. No, not smile. You know what I need to rub some sand in my eye just before I get there so the tears will really flow. That'll get him going, you know." Before he has a chance to do any of that stuff, the father's sitting there, I don't know, sitting on his patio, rocking back and forth on his rocking chair, looking, "Where's my son? I hope he comes to me soon." And he sees someone in the distance and he recognizes him. And this old dignified man, who in Jewish culture isn't going to be getting up and running anywhere, you're coming to him. He runs to his son and embraces him and begins to kiss him and welcome him home. And when the son is like, "Yeah, I'm sorry, I've really messed up. Hey, can I, like, work for you as a servant?" His father just ignores him and is like, "My son is home. He is here. My beloved is back." And this here is one of the most potent images that we have in the Bible for God's attitude towards you and me. In a world where humanity has all but rejected God, has rejected Jesus. Jesus came into that world to provide love and to provide a way back to the Father. And the great thing is, you know, in many ways, the way that the Son kind of started walking towards his father like, maybe he'll take me back. And the father ran to him. That's an image of what happens with Jesus, in Jesus. Because see, a lot of us, we like to live our lives thinking, if only I could set everything aside and get out of my past, then God would love me. Right? Then God would save me. Then God would use me. But I've got all this baggage, all this junk. He couldn't possibly do anything with me. He couldn't possibly love me. But that's not what I see in this story. Listen, the Bible says all we have to do is believe. Believe. Believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. Confess with your lips. That's all we have to do. And then our Father in heaven, he sees us on the road of belief, and he runs to us and embraces us and says, my daughter, my son, welcome home. Listen, Jesus sets aside your past to give you a future. No matter what has happened in your life, he sets it aside. It doesn't need to define you. It doesn't need to pull you down. It doesn't need to limit you. Jesus sets aside your past and gives you a future. He changes you from the inside out. In fact, the great early church missionary named Paul, or we call him the Apostle Paul because he's special. Okay, he wrote a book of the Bible called Ephesians. He's writing a letter to the church in Ephesus, and this is what he writes. He says, throw off your old sinful nature, right? Throw off your past, which is your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. And listen to what he says instead. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. When you come to faith in Jesus, he invites you to allow the old self to die. And through the Spirit, your spirit is renewed. You're made new. You're made whole. The fact is that Jesus sets aside your past to give you a future. You might feel stuck, but he says that doesn't matter. You don't need to clean up your life before I can love you. Just the fact that you're trusting in me is enough, he says. Jesus also calls you to learn from your past and then press into his purpose. Again, too many of us, right, we get pressed down by the past. This is who I was. This is what I did. This is what was done to me. How dare they? He's like, listen, learn from that stuff, but don't get caught up in that stuff. Don't let it define you. You have a purpose. And you might be sitting there, you might be running around going like, I really wish I could have a purpose, but I did this thing and I ended up in this situation and now I can't go into that. You know, our God's a big God. Even if you somehow cut yourself off from one thing that he maybe could have had you do, guess what? When you begin to seek him again and you learn from your past and press into his purpose, he has a purpose for you no matter what. You think our God is too small to be able to pivot when you mess up? If that was the case, we should all just give up now because he lost track of us all like centuries ago. If that was the case, you know, us humans, we make a lot of mistakes. But scripture actually tells us that God sees everything. God exists at a time. He created time. And so he looks at the whole thing, all of the decisions we could make, all the decisions he knows we're going to make. He's not surprised. He's like, oh yeah, it happened. Well, I still love you. I died for you. I'm here for you. Through the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament of the Bible, God spoke this. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Guys, I feel like you have lost me control here. There we go. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And listen, your life, your past, your heart, it may seem like it's the wilderness. It may seem like a wasteland. But we serve a God who's so much greater. We serve a God who is making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland of your heart. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Philippi in the Bible, he says, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us." You know, your calling, persevere. You know, your calling, you tripped, oh well, get back up. Keep going, keep pressing on, keep pressing in. You feel like your life doesn't have purpose or meaning, then seek Christ, but don't give up, because there's a purpose. Even if the purpose is just to get to the finish line and you're impacting lives around you and you don't even know it, and you're sitting there just dying inside wondering what your purpose could be, I want to tell you that every single one of us, if we keep on pressing forward to receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us, and we forget what lies behind and we press into what lies ahead, we're going to go to heaven one day, and we're going to be like, "God, why do you create me? I had no purpose whatsoever. My past was so messed up, but I listened to Pastor Steve and I kept pressing in, but nothing was happening." And he's going to go, no, you see that person over there? You planted the seed through the joy in your life when they saw the challenges that were happening. They saw you and they saw the joy with which you pressed on, and it planted the seed. And they're serving me now. No. This person, they saw your old way of living. And when they saw the transformation in you, they were grabbed to their core. And they're following me. Listen, we have people in this world that we really look up to, right? That we would say were used greatly. Like, I mean, we got Billy Graham, who just had these massive, unfortunately called crusades, but these massive evangelistic meetings, right? And people were giving their lives to Christ. You know whose name you never hear? The name of the guy that won Billy Graham to the Lord. That guy was probably sitting there like, "Yeah, I'm called to be a pastor, but I'm in this nowhere town doing this nowhere stuff. What do I matter?" Or how about the guy that won that guy to the Lord? Was he all that big of a deal? You might be like, "A pastor, you're talking about pastors." Well, am I? I don't know. Maybe it was that guy's mom that won him to the Lord. You know? You might be going through life and you're like, "Pastor Stephen, all the things... I can't get past that." You're right, you can't. See, Jesus sets aside your past to give you a future. Jesus calls you to learn from your past and press into his presence. And Jesus recognizes that you can't do it on your own. That's the whole purpose of us here today. I think every one of us has experienced, if you spend any time away from God, you have experienced the great brokenness in life and the fact that whenever you try to fill the void, whenever you try to claw your way out of that feeling of brokenness and hopelessness, that you might like get a little breath of fresh air for a while, but something just seems to pull you back under, right? And God saw us in that. And his heart broke for humanity as he recognized that a debt had been incurred when we rejected God, a debt that in his great perfect justice couldn't just be ignored. Sin had come into what was made good and had corrupted it. What was whole was made broken. And you might think to yourself, "Well, Pastor Stephen, like, a debt? So you mean somebody could have paid it, right?" Well, here's the thing. You know, you might think that if you could just get somebody that was a person and had no sin and lived a perfect life, that they'd be able to pay that debt. But here's the problem. Did you know every single person owes a debt of perfection to God? So that person would be like perfect. And that would be great. They wouldn't owe a debt. But them not owing a debt to God wouldn't do anything for you. No. So God was like, "Okay, that's not going to work. Well, I mean, what if I came to earth, right? Like it needs someone that doesn't owe anything." Oh, but here's the problem. God doesn't owe anything, but he's just God. And to pay a debt of humanity, you need a human. And so he came up with an ingenious idea. He came to earth in the person of his son, Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man, so that a man could pay humanity's debt. But because he was God, the debt wouldn't only be for himself, but for all. That's what God did for you. He knew that you couldn't get out of brokenness alone, and instead, he stepped into the fray. He lived the life that we can't live. He willingly went to the cross when he was falsely accused. He, with your name on his heart, said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He's the one who calls you into his rest, into his forgiveness, into the family of God. This whole thing that we do, it exists because Jesus recognizes you can't do it on your own. And so if while you were still sinners, Christ died for us, if he did the impossible then, don't you think he can make a way through your past now? And listen, I understand that some of us, things are really rough, and maybe we've got things that just keep pulling us back and we can't even figure out why. We just know that there's something that's pulling us back. And I'd encourage you, if that's you, if you just can't quite identify things, but there's something in your past that's holding you back. We have a program a paradigm that we use here at this church as staff members, where we help people seek God's wisdom, his guidance on inner healing and emotional healing, or inner and emotional healing. And so let me encourage you, if you're a guy here, okay, an adult guy, and you, if you feel like you want to go through this process, talk to me afterwards. If you're a youth here, guys, seek out Pastor Ewan, okay? Or I don't think that we've trained Rachel in on it, so I would say go to Pastor Embry downstairs, and ladies, go to Pastor Embry downstairs if that's something that you want to explore. But today, I really need to ask you, whatever's gone on before, you need to decide in this moment, right now, will you live your life like Chippy the parakeet, with no more joy and no more peace? Or will you allow Jesus to remake you in his image for his purpose? Jesus sets aside your past to give you a future. He calls you to learn from your past and press into his purpose, because he recognizes you can't do it on your own. So let me encourage you this week to ask Jesus to begin revealing to you the places where you've been stuck in your past, and then ask him to walk with you through it. You are not alone when you follow Jesus. Heavenly Father, today I just pray courage on the people in this room and watching online. I pray that we will not give up, that we will not just stare blankly into the future, but that we will fall to our knees before you and seek your help, your guidance, as we press on towards the goal that we have to receive that reward, to live out the purpose that you have for us. Lord, begin revealing to us the places where we've been stuck in our past. And Lord, I ask that you wouldn't leave us there, but that you would begin to show us the ways that you're walking through it with us. Bring healing. Bring restoration. Bring strength, God. Maybe there's people here online right now, and this message of what Jesus did for you, it stirred something inside of your heart. It stirred something deep inside. And today, if that's the case, I want to lead you in praying a prayer today, a prayer that while on its own isn't anything like magical or mystical or anything like that, it's a reflection of what God is doing in your heart right now. And so I want everyone in this room, everyone that's watching online, to go ahead and pray this prayer out loud. But if in your heart today you're saying to yourself, I want to follow Jesus, I want to give him my life, then know that as you pray this prayer, the inner reality of what is going on in your heart is being confessed, and know that you are forgiven and you are adopted as a son or daughter of the Most High King of the universe. So pray this with me. Heavenly Father, help me to leave the past behind. You are the way maker, and you have promised a future, a hope. Today I give you my life. Please give me yours. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and transform me by your love. I choose to follow you for the rest of my days. And I thank you that when I fall down, you pick me up again. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer from your heart today, I want to welcome you to the family of God. We would love to be able to connect with you, get a Bible and some resources in your hands. If you're online and you're not in the area, we'd love to try to connect you with a church in your area that you could begin to fellowship and grow in. And so be sure to go to ascc.life, tap on I just gave my life to Jesus and fill out that form. We'll follow up with you in-house here. You can grab that white card in the seat back there and mark off I've just given my life to Jesus, and give it to Al, who's at the back waving at you right now. There we go. And we'll be sure to get that to you, Pastor Ewan.